Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha. Always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, your home for original reporting.
I'm Stacey Lynn in Washington. The earthquake that hit Turkey and Syria is now the world's deadliest in more than a decade. The death toll is over 20,000. But amazingly, rescue teams are still finding survivors in the rubble. CBS's Chris Livesay reports.
So that's still a possibility. There could still be survivors here.
We hope so, and that's why we're going to keep trying.
Time may be dwindling, but there's reason for hope. In the form of Yagiz Ulash, just 10 days old, he spent four of them buried alive. His mother was also saved.
A deadly attack in East Jerusalem. A car crashed into a bus stop, killing two people. More power facilities have been targeted in Ukraine. CBS's Cammie McCormick with details.
Several Russian missiles were shot down over Kyiv, but there is damage to the power grids there. Power stations in six regions of Ukraine were hit, and Moldova says one missile violated its airspace. In the meantime, the first U.S. Bradley fighting vehicles headed for Ukraine have arrived in Germany. More than 60 left South Carolina last week. Ukrainian President Zelensky is on his way back to Ukraine after a tour of European capitals to seek more assistance.
Our Nancy Cordes has the latest now on the Chinese spy balloon.
FBI agents are now examining parts of the Chinese balloon that have already been fished out of the ocean.
Oh, look, they hit it.
The deflated balloon descended rapidly Saturday from an altitude twice as high as commercial jet corridors. But the so-called payload, the crucial surveillance equipment, remains on the seafloor off the South Carolina coast.
Police in Harford County, Maryland, have a suspect in custody accused of shooting two police officers. Sheriff Jeff Gaylor.
It eventually culminated in our personnel going hands-on with him and physically, after some resistance, being able to place him in custody.
Rihanna is gearing up for the Super Bowl. She told CBS Mornings.
It was so scary because it was kind of unexpected to come back from like zero to the Super Bowl. Like, that's kind of nuts. Getting back to anything right now has to feel worth it. Mm. Nothing is like worthy of right. Your time away from your kid.
Rihanna says the hardest part of preparing a Super Bowl halftime show is trying to boil down her 17-year career into just 13 minutes. Will she have love on her brain? Just shut up and drive?
Baby, you got the keys. Now shut up and drive.
On this final trading day of the week on Wall Street, markets are in the red. The Dow's down 56 points. NASDAQ down 108. S&P off 14. This is CBS News.
The Shaw, 101 FM, WAUK, 540 AM, Waukesha's only news talk station.
For Civic Media, I'm Jane Matnair. Here's what you need to know. Wisconsin's veterans could be getting more support if Governor Evers' 2023-25 budget is approved. The initiatives include millions in tax relief for veterans and surviving spouses and expands property tax credits to vets who rent their homes. It will also provide funding for mental health and educational needs. The governor's budget will be released to the GOP-controlled legislature February 15th. The Finance Committee then revises it before the budget returns to the Senate and Assembly for their approval. 13 cheese and dairy manufacturers from central Wisconsin are competing against dairy makers from 35 states at the 2023 U.S. Championship Cheese Contest, February 21st through the 23rd in Green Bay. The nationally renowned competition gives dairy companies and cooperatives the chance to improve their products, reach new customers, and vie for the coveted title of champion. I'm Jane Matnair. This is Civic Media News.
Know him as the nose tackle for the green and gold.
1993 to 1999, and again 2001 to 2003.
125 games, 292 tackles, 7 sacks, and a Super Bowl ring. But there's more to life than stats, and there's more to life than football.
You're about to find out.
Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, featuring Packers legend Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram.
Monday mornings at 8 on the Shaw and on the Civic Media app.
Hey there, fellow working class heroes. I'm Rick Smith, host of The Rick Smith Show. And we are now on the air in Waukesha. Live weeknights, 8 to 10 p.m. right here on WAUK 540 AM, 101 FM, The Shaw. Turn on, tune in, and help us rebuild the American dream. Check out our website at thericksmithshow.com. The Rick Smith Show, where working people come to talk. Weeknights, 8 to 10 p.m. right here on WAUK 540 AM, 101 FM, The Shaw.
I was just curious as to why you called it the Paul Revere Show.
The Paul Revere Show is named this way because the poem that we all know, the famous ride, the poem was written to rally the troops to fight slavery and fight for democracy. And so I named the show the Paul Revere Show because I thought it was the time to get on the air and talk about democracy.
The Paul Revere Show with Mark Thompson. Listen Monday, 7 to 8 p.m., always on the Civic Media app.
The Shaw 101 FM, your fix for progressive talk. From Big Bend to Menominee Falls. Always streaming at WAUK.
The Earl Ingram Show is an independent product and has a joint sales agreement with Civic Media. Enjoy.
Portions of the following program may be... Not enough to eat, so there's really no time to be tripping on me.
Yeah, school teachers. Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. It's Friday, and Friday's with Sandy Williams. And Sandy, I don't know if I've ever been on the show with you that has moved as swiftly as this one.
And clearly, healthcare pokes at everyone, and you know, and it still does, and it still remains a sore in our economy and in our public policy, the fact that we have a healthcare system that's so complicated, so expensive, and is not accessible, and has so many people in our society living in fear of getting sick because they know they can't afford, even if they have insurance, they can't afford the deductibles.
Yeah, let's do this. Let's go to hey, I know this guy. Who that goomer? Hey, good morning, Don. How you doing, man? It's none other than Don Brown, the Saturday morning host of the Don Brown Show. Hey, how you doing, man? What's going on?
Hey, not much, Earl. Hey, I just wanted to say thank you for agreeing to be on my show tomorrow morning at 8 this week in Waukesha, and encourage your listeners to join in, and we talk about all things Waukesha and this dynamic city of ours. And, hey, just, yeah, I heard what Sandy was talking about with our flawed healthcare system in America. And just real quick, I know I just saw a TikTok recently from the entertainer Jim Carrey. And, you know, he's from Canada, and he says in this TikTok, he says, people tell me all the time how friendly Canadians are, how happy they are. And he's like, you know why we're happy? It's because we've got better health insurance. Like you don't have to worry about your whole life being disrupted because you broke your arm or some other thing, like in the U.S., like where it's like, oh, don't have good coverage? Screw you. Maybe that's why Canadians are happier. So I think Sandy's certainly onto something.
Well,
that's been on everyone's mind.
You know, Don, the American people never once even give it a second thought that we kind of stick out like a sore thumb with these other comparable nations, that we're the only one.
Well, Don is right, though. The polls that have been taken that are international polls where they go country to country to see which populace in which country are happy in America doesn't fare well in that. And I think it's because, you know, there was a poll we talked about, what are the biggest problems facing the country? What we ought to be asking people, what are the biggest problems facing your family? And we'd find out that so many families are living paycheck to paycheck, which is a crushing burden. You can't be happy if you live with the fright of living paycheck to paycheck. You can't afford to get sick. You can't afford to have your boiler need to be replaced in the basement. You can't afford any of the hiccups that are expected in life are terrible calamities if you're living paycheck to paycheck. And so much of America lives paycheck to paycheck. And much of that is because we don't provide America with what Canadians provide: health care for all. We don't provide health care for all. We don't provide education for all. We don't provide all these things that relieve the family of these burdens that allow them to then live happily.
Well, that's again because people say we can't afford it. And you and I are getting ready to talk about, you know, why we can't afford it.
Yeah.
Don, go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, too, is that we, especially since COVID, we have a big mental health crisis in this country. And mental health in its existing form is pretty much non-existent as it comes to employer-sponsored health care. And, you know, we have a serious crisis here. And it would seem like those countries that have an existing structure of national or socialized health, whatever you want to call it, they probably are more better suited to have a solution for that. We're not.
Well, and why? We're the wealthiest nation on earth. Why?
Yeah. Now,
we should probably start measuring wealth differently. We have the biggest GDP. We have some of the wealthiest people on earth. But I'm not sure that the way our wealth is shared, we have so many people sharing in that prosperity, so they feel all of that wealth that we've got. And then we have a government that seems to squander a great deal of that wealth on, for instance, the military, the thing we're going to talk about next.
I'm clearly not one of the guys who shares in all that wealth and you know, have not done that in my life and won't be one who shares in that before the evil consequences of time turns out the lights on Earl Ingram. But I do know that the resources and that are out there could be better. You know, we got this debate going back some years about the Democrats wanted to redistribute the wealth in this country. And that was, and I never will forget, hey, they're coming to redistribute the wealth. And they got average Joes.
Well, but you know, we can redistribute the welfare without redistributing the wealth, and that's the problem. The argument gets turned to the point where it looks like we're going to create some kind of communistic process of spreading the money that everyone has out to everyone else. No, but if we had the social safety net that every other developed nation has for its people, we would be redistributing the welfare of the country to the point where welfare would be experienced. Now, is that a welfare state? Welfare somehow sounds like a handout. So rather than use the word welfare, I guess I would call it well-being. We will redistribute the well-being in this country so that more and more people experience well-being.
Well, the wealth has already been redistributed because, again, we lived at a time when the wealth was shared in this country, when the CEOs had a limit on how much they would actually wind up benefiting, and economically those things have grown disproportionately for people who have resources and not for people who don't have. So there's been a redistribution of wealth in the last 30 years.
I know, but just to back off from what sounds like an inflammatory discussion, I would talk about this as the redistribution of well-being. And to have well-being more widely distributed to people so they can experience comfort and well-being. And it doesn't take, you know, it might take more taxes from some of the people who earn more money in order to be able to create education for all, health care for all, preschool education for all, the things that are provided in every other country. But that's not taking money off the income and saying everyone's going to have the same income. It's not even affecting the income side. It's affecting the expense side of the people who are in middle and lower class America.
But I would ask, when you say inflammatory, we remember a time when there weren't a certain segment of the society that whose wealth was growing exponentially at the same time the average American's wealth was in free fall.
I just am saying that the redistribution of wealth is sort of a weaponized language. It harks back to Marxist theories, and Marx would talk about such things. Yeah. And so I'm just saying the words matter because it seemed to matter to some people. And we aren't talking about taking money, a lot of money, and giving it to other people. No, we're simply talking about creating a system of well-being that works better.
No, to balance what has happened. Because,
but you, even when you talk about balancing, Earl, you're not talking about taking $1 million away from a billionaire and just giving it to somebody.
We're talking about, hey, the laws that have been changed, the tax structure that has been changed and made it possible for the people who have those kind of resources to continue to not pay their fair share, as you talk about the tax structure. That's the difference. Correct that.
Okay, but incidentally, correcting that without implementing the programs that need to be implemented won't matter. Okay, it won't matter. If you're going to put more revenue in the coffers of the government by correcting the tax structure, then you need to spend that revenue in ways that are good investments in middle America. And those investments aren't better spent in the military. They're better spent on daycare, on education, on healthcare.
No question whatsoever. And still the fact that in today's world, in the state of Wisconsin, minimum wage on the books is still $7.25 an hour. Come on. That in itself is absolutely not right and hasn't been changed in, 20 years, 25 years? That's just not right.
Right. In fact, in another segment maybe, I wanted to talk about the extent to which when we now talk about the tools that the Federal Reserve and the government use for controlling the business cycle, we start seeing news that the Federal Reserve is looking at the increases in wages and being alarmed at the continued increase in wages. And I read an article article in the Wall Street Journal that they were particularly concerned about increases in wages in the service sector, in the restaurant sector, in the retail sector, where of course the business model of those people has been to underpay their employees. And so now these employees are beginning to catch up and begin to approach getting a real wage. And by a real wage, I mean, if you multiply their wage times 2,000 hours, can you live on that? And obviously at $7.25, you are impoverished and still probably entitled to all forms of public health care.
So even the push for $15 doesn't get you out of that circumstance.
Yeah, Don, I think, is trying to
quickly.
No, I worked in the restaurant business, and yeah, I think the argument is, well, those guys make commission, but it's still not enough. And so why not? And they're having a hard time finding labor in these segments. It's the same reason. Why work for poverty wages?
But my point is that we have we have business cycles, and in a boom period, everyone has jobs, and then when we have inflation, we worry about whether Tom, Dick, and Mary are getting raises. We have to find better tools to deal with the business cycle than squeezing Tom, Dick, and Mary.
So I drove past a fast food restaurant yesterday in Milwaukee. Third shift, $12 an hour. Got to go to break. 844-967-2789. Done. We'll talk to you on tomorrow. Be right back.
Free advertising campaign through our one-day $1 million advertising giveaway. If you missed out, our local sales team would still love to help you with your own campaign. Go to civicmedia.us and click on the sponsorship tab. Again, civicmedia.us and sponsorship. New and still growing. Advertise today with a Civic Media network of radio stations.
Max Inc. Radio, we are local music with Pete from the Skin Tones.
Here, you have been warned. Not only Madison, the rest of Wisconsin and the U.S., Skin Tones, we're coming at you. We're going to be committing rock atrocities. We're fit. We're in shape. We are tight. We are muscular. We are attractive for our ages. And we are sexy as hell.
Listen to Max Inc. Radio Saturday nights, 6 p.m. to midnight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Being a father is an honor, a challenge, a duty, a celebration, and a testimony. I want to be legendary for you because I found everything to live for.
That's dedication. Visit fatherhood.gov to hear more. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
It's easy to listen to your favorite local radio station anytime. Download the Civic Media app from the Apple or Google Play Store, then listen live or whenever you want from anywhere for free.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. Mainly sunny skies and calm this afternoon with highs around 29. Winds out of the northwest 10 to 15 miles an hour. Clear skies tonight. Lows dip down to about 16. Sunny skies and calm tomorrow. Daytime highs approaching 39. Dry with temperatures a bit above average Sunday and Monday, and highs in the low 40s. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Derek Height. Currently, it's 23 degrees.
WAUK 540 AM, Franklin's choice for news talk radio. Streaming 24/7 at waukradio.com.
Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. Text us at that same number. It's Friday. That means Friday's with Sandy Williams. And, whew, Sandy, it's been, you know, the sun. It brings out.
Yeah, perks us all up. A perky show. But, you know, we are talking about something I got fired up about. Because I did get very fired up about and the realization that the business cycle ends up really victimizing Tom, Dick, and Mary, not just in the way it operates, but the way the government operates to try and control it. And I'm all for trying to control the business cycle, but we've got to put pressure on to have the Federal Reserve and others find different tools for doing it. We need to get some imagination and some entrepreneurial spirit put into the world of economists who are working on controlling the business cycle, because right now, what they're doing is they're worried about wage increases, okay? We've gone through a period of 40 years in this country with less than equitable wage increases for Tom, Dick, and Mary. We've gone through a change in this country to a service economy. Many of the service providers are built on business models based on hourly workers not receiving benefits. In other words, hourly workers getting less than 36 hours a week of offered work time. Earning pay, let's say it's $12 an hour, $14 an hour. If they work 2,000 hours a year, they should earn a livable wage. But the livable wage is not $24,000 a year, particularly if they're earning $24,000 a year and they have a family, then there better be another breadwinner in that family, because that family can't afford rent. They can't afford any of the elements of living, and so. We need to have wage increases in the service industry. But here I saw in the Wall Street Journal that the Fed was now talking about their concern at the rapid increase of wages being experienced in the service industry, where they were continuing to hire people. Gosh, that doesn't sound like a bad thing. And they're continuing to have to give wage increases that are moving wages not all the way up to a livable wage, but at least moving in that direction. And so now they're saying, you know, gee, this all portends real economic problems. And what they need to do is start thinking about other things. They haven't talked about raising taxes. One of the reasons we have the inflation is because what I talked about several years ago when the tax reduction went in is that we were experiencing big deficits and we were now reducing taxes. Increasing taxes would suppress inflation, okay, and it would put a bit of a damper on the economy, but it wouldn't necessarily put a damper on wages. There are other tools that the government could be using, but we've only got a toolbox that we decided to look in, which includes interest rates, And that's about it.
You know, Sandy, as a guy who looks at the Wall Street Journal, probably if not every day, every other day, it doesn't surprise me that in the Wall Street Journal they're talking about the fact.
Well, this article was quoting the Federal Reserve Chairman Powell, and so they were actually quoting public policymakers with respect to this. It wasn't the Biden administration talking, but it was just as important an animal, which is the Federal Reserve, which sets interest rates, which have an important, which are important in this area.
So again, it is more than frustrating to know that these are things that can be and should be fixed inside of our government that aren't being fixed, and because there are people pushing back against fixing these things. Who are the people who are pushing back against fixing those things? That's where, to me, that's what the issue is, Sandy.
Well, I think the issue here is that Tom, Dick, and Mary don't have a loud enough voice to push the economists of the world into thinking outside of the box that they have thought about, that they have been within for quite a long time. Central banks basically think about controlling the economic environment with interest rates. Interest rates primarily have an effect. I mean, they have an effect that's broad speaking, but they have an effect as well on Tom, Dick, and Mary that's disproportionate. And the ultimate control over the business cycle is the layoffs, which of course reduce the numbers of people who can bid the prices up on things. They make it borrowing money on your credit card and other things more expensive, which makes it more expensive for Tom, Dick, and Mary to buy a car or do other things. And so what we need to do is if Tom, Dick, and Mary had a louder voice, I do think that the policymakers would start looking for other tools.
So Sandy.
Like taxes. And Washington has a one-way ratchet. The Biden administration isn't talking about raising taxes because, you know what, it's not very popular with anybody to raise
but
taxes.
Sandy, I'm Tom, Dick, and Harry.
Yeah.
And so,
I always say Mary.
And Mary, okay. But I'm Tom, Dick, and Mary.
Yeah.
And so my only voice and option in a representative government is through my elected official.
Yes.
And so I can't, as an individual, appeal to those entities to do what's right. The only way I can do that and my voice can be heard is through our officials. And when our officials won't respond to what's in the best interest of me, Tom, Dick, and Mary, we have nowhere to turn and we wind up where we are right now.
Absolutely. Well, we've obviously gone through 40 or 50 years of that because the business model of too many businesses in America is premised on paying wages that are too low, that are not livable wages. We all in America have gotten used to it. It sort of grew out of the fast food industry and spread like wildfire through our economy, through the service economy. And it's a bad thing because what it does is it creates that budget that I've talked about, the median family that earns $64,000 a year in Wisconsin. But if you split that evenly between two breadwinners, that's two breadwinners each earning $32,000 a year. If they're each working 2,000 hours a year, which is a full year's employment, they're not getting paid very much.
But they
aren't getting benefits. They don't have enough money to live, as we've shown when we go through their budget.
Sandy, I get it. But who's going to change that?
Well, we need to figure out.
So hold the thought. Got to go to break. 844-967-2789. 844-967-2789. Text us that same number. We'll be right back. I agree with you.
The Shaw 101 FM, New Berlin's choice for news talk radio. Streaming 24/7 at waukradio.com.
CBS News Brief. Federal authorities are at former Vice President Mike Pence's home. It's unclear what this is related to. We know Pence's attorneys handed over classified documents last month. He's also been subpoenaed by the special counsel overseeing investigations into former President Trump. Legal analyst Rebecca Roife tells us this doesn't mean there will be an indictment, but
in terms of putting these puzzle pieces together, the special counsel is fairly close.
A manhunt's over north of Baltimore for a man suspected of shooting two officers. WJZT TV reporter Amy Kawada.
For hours, authorities were on scene there trying to reach a peaceful resolution with the suspect, David Lithicum, to get him into custody.
A spokesman for the White Helmet Civil Defense Group in Syria told the BBC what they're seeing in the earthquake aftermath is catastrophic.
There's a huge lack in equipment and tools and fuel to power our tools and power our ambulance vehicles and cars.
CBS News Brief. I'm Stacy Lynn.
A progressive voice from Beaver Dam to Kenosha. WAUK 540 AM. Always streaming at waukradio.com.
For Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. Here's what you need to know. Governor Evers wants to increase spending for the Department of Veterans Affairs by $24 million. $9 million would go toward new programs for veterans. Almost $8 million would be used to hire new nurses or give current nurses at the state's veterans' homes raises. The governor unveils his full budget proposal next week. Former Packers star quarterback Brett Favre is suing two sports commentators and Mississippi State Auditor for defamation. The lawsuits accuse Pat McAfee, Shannon Sharp, and Shad White of lying about Favre in the media. Favre has long denied he knew he was part of a plan to divert welfare money to build new sports facilities at his alma mater. In sports, the Bucks beat the Lakers last night. Earlier yesterday, Milwaukee got former Marquette star Jay Crowder in a four-team trade. Milwaukee sent point guard George Hill to Indianapolis. I'm Terry Bell, and this is Civic Media News.
Hey everybody, how we doing? I'm Charlie Behrens, inviting you to join me Saturdays and or Sundays at noon. It's a horse apiece, whatever you decide. We're doing the Cripescast, where we talk to people for and or from the Midwest, and it's more fun than a six-pack of Jolly Good. Okay, the pride of Random Lake, that Jolly Good is. Anyway, it's on your Civic Media station and the Civic Media app. And do me a favor, yeah, tell your folks I says hi. Okay, real good.
I learned patience from my adoptive dad. All he had to say was,
"Hey, you got this. Just breathe." Hey. We're pretty good.
Yeah.
Might have to start a band.
I got it.
Learn about adopting a teen from foster care. You can't imagine the reward. Visit AdoptUSKids.org to find out more. This message is brought to you by AdoptUSKids, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, and the Ad Council.
Plenty of people start something great in their 40s and 50s. Getting your retirement savings on track is no different. Go to aceyourretirement.org and in 3 minutes you'll get personalized tips to help boost your retirement savings. That's aceyourretirement.org. A message from AARP and the Ad Council.
I'm looking at the phone lines. I'm seeing some familiar faces. Once in a minute, Gene of Eau Claire.
Well, welcome back, Matt. I really miss you. We've been missing getting woke every morning, but now we'll get woke in the afternoon.
Once in a minute, Andrew of Detroit.
Professor, it's so nice you're back. We missed you during your vacation, and I'm very happy to be in your class for the semester.
Thanks a lot for calling in. I appreciate all my callers.
Tune in to Matt Flynn Direct, Monday through Friday, 3 to 4 p.m.
Hi, I'm Kelly Tanky.
And I'm Joe Kirk.
Tune in to AM 950's newest show, Searching for...
Try to see things my way. Do I have to keep on talking till I can go on?
Let's hear a little bit of this quickly. Listen to the lyrics.
On the risk of knowing that our love may soon be gone. Of what you're saying, you can get it wrong and still think that it's all right. Think of what I'm saying, we can work it out and get it straight or say goodnight. We can work it out, we can work it out.
So,
life is
you said what's that?
Get out?
Yeah, we have to work it out, right? Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. Text us at that same number. It's Friday and Sandy Williams. Let's go to Marty. Hey, good morning, Marty. How you doing? Thank you very much for the call. You say what?
Good morning, Earl. Long time no hear.
Yeah, man. Are you just finding us?
No. I listen every day. I just don't.
All right.
Hard to get in sometimes with some of your callers.
All right, go ahead.
Hey, and good luck with that third shift job you took overnight.
Go ahead.
I'm just thinking about the hospital system and everything you guys are talking about. You covered a lot of subjects, and I'd love to touch them all, but think of the hospital system for a moment. In Milwaukee, we help build the hospitals. We have a medical school, creates the doctors. We have a dentistry school, creates the dentists. We have all the office space and all of those facilities are already there. We have about 8 universities that create nurses all over the place, and they do a great job. So we have that aspect. You know, we have all the clinicians at MATC and all the aspects of the medical system. And you know what we do at the end of the month, Earl?
What?
Sandy? We send our check to North Carolina for health insurance. We send it to Illinois. We send it to Delaware. We send it out of state. And that could all be internalized into one system that would address your other problems that you're talking about. A labor shortage, a housing shortage, things of that nature. But imagine if Milwaukee County offered anyone that lived and worked in the county health insurance. And that became a system, and you internalize that. If you live and work in the city, now you have housing projects. Now you have people moving to the city. Now you have the labor situation solved. Because people want to come to Milwaukee, the machine shop of the world. People come not from, you know, Brookfield and Elm Grove. They come from all over the world to Milwaukee. And we regain our place as a place of diversity, a place that people want to come to. I'm tired of people from out of the city controlling the lives of Milwaukeeans. I don't understand it. I really don't. And just if I may, next week, you're talking about the wealth disparity. Next week, Northwestern Mutual Life Insurance Company, the wealthiest, most successful private company in the state of Wisconsin, is coming to the citizens of Milwaukee and Milwaukee County and Milwaukee Public Schools and asking us to forego $30 million of tax revenue. Coming to the fourth poorest people in the country. This rich company is coming to the citizens of Milwaukee to ask for money.
You know, Marty, man, you have always been a guy who's sharp and been on top of the issues.
Because of you, Earl. Because of you. It's because of Eric and a lot of other people.
You know, Marty, it makes no sense whatsoever that they can ask that, and even worse, that they're going to get it, right?
Oh, it's already signed and sealed.
You know,
it'll take more than one person like myself or yourself saying something. Has anyone talked to an alderman in the last 6 months?
Come on, man.
Hey,
hang on, Marty. Sandy, you want to?
Well, actually, is the $40 million, isn't it associated with their project that they're talking about carrying out in downtown,
yes,
moving the campus?
Yes.
You know,
yes,
I think
yes, it is. Absolutely. Yeah, they're foregoing the property tax
for the next
20 years.
Well, but they would also increase. I mean, these things are carried out with somewhat of a, you know, most of the real estate development in downtown Milwaukee, which is carried out by people of means, do get real estate tax breaks in the front end to make sure to help them build the project that they ultimately build, which increases the property tax base over the long haul. So I'm not quite as quick to condemn that. My son's a real estate developer. I'm familiar with almost every one of the private real estate developments in downtown Milwaukee has received a real estate tax break at the front end in order to promote the fact that they get built. Mayor Norquist used those, and every mayor since then has used it as part of their development package. So,
if I may, Patty, that narrative, I've heard that for 24 years, and I understood that 24 years ago in 1999 when John Norquist and others, Peter Park and other people like that, indicated this plan. And this plan that we've undertaken is to build up downtown, and that all of the money and the tax revenue and this, all of the largesse of downtown will flow to the neighborhoods. Sandy, do you know right now and this summer, they're not able to put water in a splash pad for three-year-olds.
Well, the city
and this company is taking $30 million. That property tax revenue would go to splash pads. That would go to filling the pools at Washington Park and in the county. That would go to the city of Milwaukee, maybe filling some potholes. The alleys are on a 400-year cycle to be replaced. It's going to be absurdity. The haves and the have-nots, which you keep talking about, you know, beautifully. It is Milwaukee. And if anybody wants to know why the RNC is coming here, I think it's because they found, you know, heaven on earth. This is perfect for them. They've got all the poor and the forgotten people cordoned off in a little area west of the freeway. Beautiful.
Marty, hang on. Let's Sandy respond.
Well, I think it might be complicated. I don't know if it's $40 million of foregone taxes that they were paying or $40 million of foregone taxes that they would be paying on the new property. Yeah. So, you know, it's $40 million of taxes that aren't yet being received by the city that would be received because of the development that are being deferred because of the development. So, look, I don't disagree with you that we've got dislocations and that I will certainly agree that Tom, Dick, and Mary don't get represented at any level of government like they should, and as a result, the policies we implement fail to take their interest adequately into account. I'm not going to use the NML project as an example of that, but I do think that there are plenty of examples of it that I would agree with.
Hold on, Marty, just let him respond.
So, I think that what we need to get at is, as Earl and I were talking about off the air, is so we've got a system in which K Street and the private interest gets far more attention than they should, and the Tom, Dick, and Mary don't get the attention that they should. They're the ones who elect all the elected officials, but the elected officials tend to listen to and respond to the lobbyists and the private interests in America. Then the question is why and how do we change that? Because waving our arms around in despair doesn't get us anywhere. It only frustrates us, makes fewer of us want to vote, because why should we vote? As fewer of us vote, the problem gets worse. The government veers off into a terrible direction of autocracy or some other mode that does not reflect Tom, Dick, and Mary and democracy. And my sense is that it has everything to do with our loss of media. And the consolidation of media into, for instance, Gannett. We used to have Milwaukee Sentinel and Journal, privately owned competitors with one another before they merged with one another, and they were holding each other's feet to the fire and informing the public regularly about the goings on that would otherwise be in a dark room, in a cloakroom. And so they helped us. They helped illuminate even before the Freedom of Information Act. They uncovered the stuff that Tom, Dick, and Mary could care about. And we had that nationally. Now we've got Gannett. Gannett doesn't have a nationally supported news media system that's doing a lot of digging and ferreting out at the national level or at any level. They just have strung together a bunch of newspapers that are vehicles for advertising, and they found ways to try to stream it as much as possible to make it more like the streaming information we get from social media than it is like a newspaper. I read the Journal Sentinel on stream media. I can't tell an ad.
So do I.
You can't retell an ad. You can't tell an ad from a story. Many of the stories are picked up off of other sources, and the whole thing is turned into something that isn't the kind of news media that sheds light on what's going on.
Because profit, they've cut the staff.
Yeah.
And more than in half.
But you can look at the silliness then of what the way the news handles things. We have a tragic earthquake in Turkey, and within 2 days of that, the news media was treating it like the war in Ukraine and reporting that this was a much less tragic earthquake than the one in 1999, because that one cost 33,000 lives and this one was only costing 3,500 lives. Well, that was 2 days after the earthquake. They were still digging through rubble. That was a crazy thing to report. The BBC was saying that. The New York Times was saying that. National News was covering it that way. And a schmo like you and me could read that and say, That's just the tip of the iceberg. There's going to be, you know, now we're up to 22,000 with 10,000 more missing. I mean, there's every reason to believe this is as big a tragedy as the one in 1999. But our news media is failing us. And I wouldn't say that it's necessarily failing us because it's controlled by moneyed interests. I think it's failing us because we just don't have enough of it. We don't have enough professional journalists, and we don't have the kind of news media. And we got to figure out, what are we going to do about it? What are we going to do about that? How are we going to shine a light and get people who are paid professionally to dig out all the news that you and I can't dig out because we're just schmoes. We just go about our daily lives.
Hey, Marty, you get the last word.
Well, sometimes the citizens can step up and maybe take the football and run with it. But let me just be clear. I do not want to say anything negative against Northwestern Mutual Life. That was just, my analogy or my symbol out there. I put Michaels and Milwaukee Tool and others in the same boat. These companies, Pfizer came to the citizens of Milwaukee, asked for $7 million. Sandy, do you know what their profit was last year? It was exactly $7 million a day. And they had the audacity and the necessity to come to the citizens of Milwaukee and ask for $7 million. It was like a waste of time. I do not understand this attitude. So it's tough, but we've got to do better as a city. We've got to get on the same page with one plan. And I agree with Sandy often. We need a plan. Thank you.
You know, Marty, thank you very much for the call, as always. And Marty is one of those guys who for decades has been heralding.
A long time.
Well, I mean, you know, you've been heralding.
It's getting to be ridiculous, though, Earl. It's so long.
Yeah.
And nothing changes.
Marty.
The streets are the same.
Hey, Marty, thank you very much. Got you. Really appreciate it. So Marty's one of those guys who fights for the people. And he's everywhere. He's always bringing up relevant points and relevant questions. And that's part of it. He's one guy who's always on top of things, keeping his eye, his ear to the ground, and looking at all the things that happen, and always bringing these things up to make people stop and think. And that's what we need more of, not less of.
Mm-hmm, absolutely.
Yeah. Listen, got to go to a break. 844-967-2789. We'll be right back.
You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us.
It makes me smile, and you have a piano, but if you can play the Peanuts theme song.
Oh, oh my gosh.
You know he can.
Yes.
On the Devil's Radio.
Saturday night, 6 p.m. to midnight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Cardall put out these weird, sad videos interviewing incapacitated elders in their nursing homes that don't have the ability to say, don't use me as your political prop.
If they are what you say they are, then you shouldn't be doing it how you did it.
Yes, it was the kids using the parents as props. Well, my old man hasn't talked since 76. Of course he would have voted for Trump. That's the evidence. Videos. People that can't talk.
It is wrong. So it's absolutely wrong.
Check out the entire podcast library at darnwi.com.
My Alzheimer's diagnosis was hard to take.
But early detection allowed us to take control of the situation together.
Talk to your family about seeing a doctor. Go to alz.org/time to talk. A message from the Alzheimer's Association and the Ad Council.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. Mainly sunny skies and calm this afternoon with highs around 29. Winds out of the northwest 10 to 15 miles an hour. Clear skies tonight. Lows dip down to about 16. Sunny skies and calm tomorrow. Daytime highs approaching 39. Dry with temperatures a bit above average Sunday and Monday, and highs in the low 40s. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Derek Height. Currently, it's 23 degrees.
WAUK 540 AM, New Berlin's choice for news talk radio. Streaming 24/7 at waukradio.com.
Can join us at 844-967-2789, 844-967-2789. Text us at that same number. You know, Sandy, we're going to close things out because we've been talking about some serious things as always. But I'm talking a little sports, man. The Bucks made a trade that... They gave up 5 second-round draft choices. How many second-round draft choices do you think actually make it in the
into the league? I know. Well, and the player we gave up was a second-round draft choice too. Nuara, right?
Yeah, and so they gave up a couple other guys. What was the guy's name?
Well, they gave up Ibaka and they gave up a Hill, right?
Ibaka or Chewbacca?
Yeah.
He was kind of like Chewbacca, right?
Yeah.
He didn't do much, big and cumbersome. But it kind of reminds me of when they brought in P.J. Tucker.
I was going to say, it's like the P.J. Tucker move almost exactly. I mean, apparently Crawford's a pretty much a defensive strength like Tucker was. Got a good, can shoot 3 points. Tucker could do that.
Bigger and stronger than Tucker.
Yeah.
And to me, a much better player than Tucker. And I've been the one guy who foolhardily said, get rid of Middleton.
Yeah, Middleton actually, Middleton's looking pretty good on the way back. Maybe his injury got him fresh legs and more strength. You know, when I saw him play, he looked like he'd been doing more weight work. He looked a little bigger, a little more substantial.
Yeah. But he's getting older, and
well, yeah, and but you know, I have to say, Horace, they do a good job of moving things. The basketball team doesn't require as many players, and when you build a franchise around like three guys like they have who are long termers, hopefully, they can spend those second round draft choices for a while at least. They'll need them, but they don't need them until about 3 years from now, and then they'll have some.
So the other part of it is, they are now 9 games in a row. And, yeah, you know, they haven't been exactly playing the toughest teams along the route.
Right.
With those 9. But they won the games. And I remember you and I having a discussion, you know, maybe 9 games back.
Yeah, we were sitting at a game and sort of poo-pooing the
Middleton,
the zone offense and Middleton's net. But, you know, as I reflect on it, one of the problems they've had, I mean, I do think their offense is a little too static and doesn't move the ball enough. But you know, the other teams have been scoring a lot on them. And so defense maybe is a little bit of a deficiency that they've had. And so adding someone like Crawford who can help them with defense is going to be helpful.
Look, Crawford is the kind of guy who will make it harder on a LeBron James.
Right.
Or a Kevin Durant. They haven't had a guy.
Well, Wes Matthews is smaller.
A smaller guy.
But I remember when Matthews was on Durant in a game and really held him down. So we've got a couple of defensive magicians, actually, potentially. So,
but as you stated, Crowder is a bigger version of that and even more athletic. But Crawford also can shoot a three-point shot. He's a much better shooter than people give him credit for. And I'm going back now and taking back that stinking thinking
about Middleton.
Yeah.
Well, you know, the other thing is that I was saying, well, Crawford's 32. Well, you know what? Lopez is 34. Right?
Yeah.
Lopez really came into his own after he came to Milwaukee when he was 29 or 30.
Yeah.
And is playing his best basketball now that he's ever played.
Well, you know, the big guys always can hang around longer, you know, because, you know, there aren't a lot of them. And so they get to hang around a lot longer. But, Sandy, telling you now, I can see the Bucks winning the Eastern Division. The only competition they really have, it was originally New Jersey, but New Jersey has been completely dismantled, is the Boston Celtics. So outside of that, I see the Bucks going to the finals. If they can get past the Celtics, they can at least get to the semifinals. And with this acquisition, people aren't really going to understand. Because they don't really know for the most part. Crowder is not the kind of guy.
That's right, Crowder, not Crawford. You're right. Yeah.
But he's the kind of guy who's going to do the little dirty work.
Although, you know, he hasn't played all year, so I suspect it's going to be a half of the remaining season before he's really in shape and ready to play, which is probably good. He'll have such fresh legs by the time they come to the playoffs.
And I'm sure he hasn't been sitting around, you know, eating bonbons, right?
Yeah.
Because he knows part of this is, you know, he's looking for a long-term contract. So I'm thinking, you know, he's not in game shape, but he's probably not a whole lot far away from being able to play 10, 15 minutes a game, you know. And then, you know, we forget, what's the guy's name that everybody loves? Portis.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's been injured.
He's been hurt for a while, so Portis will come back. And actually, these guys who are injured, when they come back, they actually are fresher. You know, to the extent that the injury's repaired, they're actually pretty good shape.
They're also going to add, because they've got a couple more roster spots.
Right.
Because the Bucks, they're back.
Yeah, well, they didn't give up. You know, they didn't give up anyone who is contributing this year in any significant way whatsoever.
You've got to give them credit. They're the shrewdest, smartest management team, I think, out of all the teams in the NBA.
Well, they certainly are. They've certainly done a great job, and they've managed to maintain the character of the club. So that, you know, they don't have any. I suspect, at least, this is my observation. They have no trouble in the locker room whatsoever, which is pretty important in a basketball
team.
Who
wins the Super Bowl?
I'm going to the Eagles.
I know. I can't disagree with you.
Yeah.
This is going to be a great game.
Yeah.
All right, everybody. Thank everybody who made the show go. Thank you, Sandy, man, I don't know what happened to the time. It was a great, great time. Thank everybody who made the show go. Thank you, Connor. I'll be back on Monday. We'll be back on Monday. You've been tuned into the Earl Ingram Show. See you later.
him as the nose tackle for the green and gold.
1993 to 1999, and again 2001 to 2003.
125 games, 292 tackles, 7 sacks, and a Super Bowl ring. But there's more to life than stats, and there's more to life than football.
You're about to find out.
Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, featuring Packers legend Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram.
Monday mornings at 8 on The Shaw and on the Civic Media app.
Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian.
I'm really trying hard not to go insane from the mind screw that is this situation. Yes. With I was going to say the GAB, but now it's the WEC, which right. Was audited by the LAB, and then it's now screwed up by the GOP, and we're all SOL. Good for us. Congratulations.
Look at all those acronyms. Yeah.
We're the winners.
Tune in for Dueling Tangents every week.
You are listening to WAUK 540 AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha, always streaming on the Civic Media app.